Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, young man, you have been apprenticed to a fine company in London. Today, you become a man of business.
I'm looking forward to it, Headmaster.
You will love business. It is the American way.
Sam. It's just...
Well, it is the British way.
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Heather, thank you so much for coming onto the show. This is so exciting because literally for years, I've been trying to get you on The Syndicate, and now finally I have all the WSTR gems in my Infinity Gauntlet. So Heather, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, Armand, thank you so much. I am so sad that it has taken this long, but I think we have peaked on the movie for our discussion.
Seriously, yeah, we're talking about The Muppets Christmas Carol, and before we get into the film proper, I want to know, because like this film was like a big film in my childhood, how did you discover The Muppets Christmas Carol?
Yeah, so I had a great upbringing. I am the youngest of my family. My brothers were 10 and 12 years older than me. And so my parents were older by extension. And so I just grew up with films that my age bracket shouldn't have been watching, right? Because I was just growing up with adults, basically. Okay. So very much exposed to the Muppets early. I knew about the Muppet Show, not just the films. And so basically ever since The Great Muppet Caper, I was like fully hooked in the Muppet realm. So when I learned that there was more Muppet movies coming out, I was ecstatic. So then when The Muppet Christmas Carol came out, I was like, well, it's The Muppets. I'm going to see it. But the story had never been really well done. And so I was like,
what?
Which we'll talk about in the future.
Oh my God.
Okay. The podcast. But hot takes already, and we haven't even started. But yeah. And so it was just always, if there was a Muppet movie, it's something we watched. And so.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Muppets for me to this day as an adult are my jam. I love the Muppets so much. Growing up, I kind of confused them with Sesame Street because I also watched a lot of Sesame Street.
Sure.
So I'm like, are they Muppets? Are they their own thing? It's a different block. It's a different hood.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But like, my personal favorite was the Muppets Treasure Island movie.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a good one.
It
yes.
It is a good one.
It's a good Tim Curry. Yeah.
And I would say the Treasure Island adaptations were all solid, but I do kind of agree with you that some of the Christmas Carol adaptations aren't the best, because I think it's a limitation of like the technology. Because like, sure, if you like read the story, it's like, oh, like there's these ghosts and he's traveling through time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to do with, you know, a strapped budget. It's like, we need to make a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
For sure. For sure.
The backgrounds are wobbling.
You're like, we have one budget for the one ghost, so the other ghosts have to be a little weird.
Right. And like with the Muppets Christmas Carol, honestly, they did not have to go this hard for the Christmas Carol. Like, this movie is so good. Like, it's like, yeah, it's a good movie. Like, it's well done. And also, like, the production value is like super high. And like, little kid brain watching this, I was like, oh, I'm a little scared. And that's, yeah, what I want from a Christmas Carol. Because like, yes, it is a scary story. And
absolutely.
Like, and with this movie, it's like, oh my God, they went so hard with the horror. Like, to this day, like, core memories were formed in my brain with some of the sequences. And Michael Caine, the leading actor, like it's a silly movie. We have Muppets, there's singing, there's dancing. Yeah. Michael Caine plays it so straight, plays it, yes, so seriously, as, yes, serious as a car crash. That's how serious he's taken this movie. And he didn't have to go that hard for it.
It's so good. There's just no element about it that doesn't make me smile, because even down to like Gonzo's suit is like authentic of what would have been worn. So the fact that every Muppet's outfit was basically historically accurate. And then, yes, you've got these mice who like break into their like heat wave moment, you know, and they, yeah, like, they leave the story for a second, but yet Michael Caine is just, he is Scrooge. Oh, it's just fabulous.
Here comes Mr.
I agree with everything that you just said.
Yeah, here comes Mr. Scrooge. Yeah, I mean, this movie, like, it's kind of made for kids, but like, honestly, they won't appreciate the art that they're watching. Like, right, adults watching this are like, wow, this is solid stuff. And it's a Muppets movie on top of that.
But isn't that the beauty of the Muppets, right? The humor has always been for the adults. Like, if you watch the Muppet movie, or, you know, The Great Muppet Caper, Muppets Take Manhattan, Muppet Treasure Island, The Muppet Show, it's all been adult humor.
Yeah.
That I feel like the Muppet Christmas Carol, it's the first time it was ever kind of, well, maybe Muppet Treasure Island, they were packaged in a way that was a little bit more appealing to kids.
Yeah.
Miss Piggy, just she has her moments where she's still just Miss Piggy. She's not Mrs. Cratchit and whatever.
Right.
And when she wants to beat up Scrooge, you can almost hear the hi-ya coming out. It's just, so it's like that nostalgia for the adults, but this great storytelling that the kids can engage with. And even the fact that when they get to the ghost of the future, or ghost yet to come, depending on which version you're, you know, listening to,
the Grim Reaper,
the Rizzo and Gonzo are like, yeah, this is scary, peace out, we'll see you later. And like, they recognize the severity and harshness of it.
Yeah.
Just so good. Yeah.
A core memory formed in my
right
child
there.
Brain.
Yes.
I'm like, ah, this is so scary.
Yeah.
So before we get into the movie,
I have to
ask, have you been to Disney World? Specifically Hollywood Studios, formerly known as MGM?
For the Muppet Vision 3D?
Yes.
Hell yeah, I have. Oh, sorry. Heck yeah, I have. Sorry. I don't know what you need on this.
No, you could swear.
All right. Yes, I have. It's amazing.
It's so good. Like, honestly, it's better than the Star Wars world, in my opinion.
Ooh, like, hot take.
Because, like, it's so fun. It's so good. And, like, uh-huh, I enjoy the humor of it. Like, that's because, mm-hmm, you're talking about, like, how adults get it. And it's also nice for the kids. This is, like, peak family entertainment.
Yes.
That
yes.
everyone can enjoy. Because like people misinterpret family as like, oh, it has to be like super kid friendly. It's like, no, it could be like humor that the adults can get. And there's stuff for kids too. It's like, it's for everybody. And everyone could sit down and enjoy this thing together. And that's what the Muppets are. Because like there's some adult humor that the kids won't get over their heads. But then there's a fart joke. Then you have like Swedish Chef coming in and he's a silly man. It's like, oh, like that's how you do it. That's solid humor right there that anybody can get.
For sure. Oh, yeah. It's very, I think it's an underrated part of the Disney world.
Oh, yeah.
In Disney World and in Hollywood Studios, MGM. And, you know, you have the really fun moment. I mean, you get Scooter, who you don't get very often, which is amazing. You've got Stadler and Waldorf, who just two grumpy old men who just need to be protected at all costs. And there's just nothing not good to say about it, I feel like.
It's a great time. It's a great time, and it's never going to leave Disney World.
No.
Like, there will be riots in the streets if they ever get rid of that building of Muppet
Probably.
Vision.
Probably.
So, back to A Christmas Carol.
Okay.
So, Heather, before we dive into what this movie is all about, can you summarize briefly what The Muppet's Christmas Carol is all about?
The Muppet Christmas Carol is a beautiful retelling by Gonzo the Weirdo. The story of a man who learns truly what Christmas is all about. And we meet a lovely family along the way, and we see the highs and the lows of what life can do to a person, and ultimately get scared out of our wits to then find the true meaning of Christmas with a few songs and some singing vegetables along the way.
So beautifully said. Thank you. Yeah, because like this adaptation is so different because like it infuses humor and music because A Christmas Carol is not a musical.
No, it's not.
Like here in Chicago, it's a tradition. We play it all the time, every single year. There's a specific actor that plays Scrooge, and it is a play.
Yes.
There are no singing. It is not a musical. It is not a Broadway. It is a play. People are dramatizing on stage, and if you watch a movie, people are dramatizing it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Muppets, they're like, let's have fun with it. Let's make some original music. Here comes Mr. Humbug. Here comes Mr. Scrooge. Marley and Marley.
Oh, man. We got to talk about that scene, too. Okay.
Sorry. So many bangers. So what I love about this film is, like, Michael Caine's the only human actor. Well, I mean, there's, like, other kids around. But, like, for the most part, like, Michael Caine's the only human actor. And then the rest are played by Muppets. And they're credited as the Muppets, like Bob Cratchit is Kermit, and he's credited as Kermit. Miss Piggy is, you know, Emily Cratchit, and then Gonzo is Charles Dickens, the narrator.
Rizzo is the only Muppet who's still Rizzo
himself.
So good.
I'm like, oh wow, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like I just love that because, like, I wish more films were like that today, where it's like, you know. You have, like, for example, Twilight, and you could keep one actor and then replace the rest of them with Muppets and then see what happens. And, like, that's what they do with this film. It's, like, it's The Christmas Carol, but with Muppets, and then Ebenezer Scrooge is the only human actor. And I think that's on purpose, too, because, like, he is, like, it's his story. Like, we have this curmudgeon, this guy that's been disenchanted by the holidays, and he's kind of, like, losing all of his loved ones all around him, his partner, his love in life. His family is abandoning him because he's a grumpy old man. And he needs to find the spirit of Christmas once again through spirits.
Yes.
Ghosts. He gets visited by three ghosts. And he discovers the beauty of Christmas again. And I think him being human lends into that because it's like, we can transpose us onto the actor, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. We can't really do that with Muppets, with puppets, because like they're silly people. They're little, they're little cartoon characters, essentially.
Piece of the fabric, yeah. So, but that's what's so interesting, right, Armand? Because being set in the Victorian era with this idea of spirits and ghosts and seances was like a legit thing. So to be haunted by your partner from the past in Jacob Marley, that was probably like legit scary, right? So how do you take this classic literature piece and infuse a level of it? It's kind of how I feel about like Bible stories and Veggie Tales.
Mm-hmm.
You have this idea where you're sharing like really heavy scriptures, but then throw some vegetables in there, and all of a sudden it's a little easier to take in. And so to then infuse this music and infuse some comedy, and it takes itself a little bit more lightly. But yet they also then have this really beautiful moment where in the Ghost of Christmas Present, when they visit the Cratchit home, and that little tiny Tim, you know, sings his little song, and you're like, why am I crying? Like, why am I emotionally invested in this tiny little frog? Really then makes the Ghost of the Future moment like, holy crap, this is like hardcore.
Right. Like,
it's good storytelling.
I like that comparison with VeggieTales, because the Bible doesn't pull its punches, because like they traverse some pretty dark stuff, and pretty dark stuff does happen.
Yes.
But with VeggieTales, it maintains the message. It maintains the moral of the story.
Yes.
But lightens it up. And with the Muppets Christmas Carol, it does the same thing with the Christmas Carol, because like there's some heavy social commentary going on. For example, with Tiny Tim, like if you read or watch like a traditional Christmas Carol, like that's like representative of the times and inequality between like the super rich and the super like impoverished people. And Tiny Tim is like a physical representation of that, because like he's a crippled little boy, and the Cratchits can't really help him because they don't have money.
Money, right.
And with this movie, it's definitely downplayed. He's kind of like, I'm like hurt. He's like more hurt. But like the message of like his family can't really help him is still there. It's just not as dark as the original story. Right. But the message is still there, type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what makes it fun then. Like we've been saying since the beginning, the adults who get it at this higher level. And the kids who are being introduced to it can still get the same themes.
Right.
Which then either opens up a dialogue between families or opens up the curiosity of the original story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you don't want to traumatize kids.
Oh, no.
It's not like, is it Grimm's Fairy Tales? The original German fairy tales?
Oh, yeah. Those are
like
those
Cinderella.
Are serious.
Yeah, like her sister's.
Chopping toes off?
Yes, exactly. That's a little too hardcore for kids. Like, I mean, if you want to scare kids, you know, mission accomplished. But like, you don't have to shield your kids too much. You can like show them like, oh, you know, like there are people down on their luck. There are people in hard situations, but you don't have to go all the way and like show like the reality of it. You could just like teach them like, hey, this is happening. In a more palatable way, so you don't traumatize a kid. And I feel like the Muppets Christmas Carol does that as well, because, like, for example, we mentioned Jacob Marley's ghost. How, you know, Jacob? Well, in the film, it's the two old people.
Old people, yeah.
So, got it. You know, they're the old people characters, so you have to have both of them. But like, Jacob Marley is kind of like haunting Scrooge from beyond the grave, because it's like, oh, like. As a reminder, like, hey, you're super into greed and you're like stingy and you don't want to like share your wealth. And you're kind of like hoarding it. Look what happened to me being greedy. Every single chain that's on my body was a thing from my greed and my transgressions. Don't be like me.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Muppets Christmas Carol, it's like that core element is there. It's told through song and dance.
Yes.
So it's like the kids get it in the brain somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, and that's the beauty of the adaptation, right? To bring in Stadler and Waldorf, to have the two Marley brothers and make that small tweak to the story. And, you know, you see them getting choked by the chains, but like in that song, you know, there's that one bit where it's like they're standing outside with their little teddy bears. And I'm like, if a kid can't relate to that, like holding onto their teddy bear, it's just so clever.
The innocence of childhood.
It's just, yeah, I'm losing my words because I'm getting excited. So I have to like calm myself
get
down.
Get excited. Get full in there. We're talking about the Muppets.
So it's just great because then right before that, you have this scene where Rizzo loses his jelly beans right before they get into the house. And you're it's just this like juxtaposition of like this really comical high, or like you can fit through those bars. You're such an idiot. Like, and then you're instantly transported into the dark house and he has to turn all his lights on, and then he's visited by these spirits, and it keeps your emotional level kind of all over the place.
Was it Gonzo, aka Charles Dickens, that said he keeps his house dark because it's cheaper that way?
Yes.
Hey, I'm frugal too, but I'm not going to walk around my house with a candle. I'm like, oh, that's such, goodness. It's such a small line, but it encompasses the Scrooge character. Mm-hmm. And it also brings levity to his character too, because like Scrooge is extremely harsh and he's a miserable person. But like this film kind of treats it as like, it lessens it. It's like more of like, oh, he's like a grumpy instead of like, I am so like distraught on life, I'm gonna cut everybody out and like isolate myself. It's like, no, he's grumpy, you know.
Right.
He doesn't want to give his money away.
That sweet little bunny.
Oh yeah, like with that scene with the bunny, because like I haven't seen any adaptation of Scrooge where he like throws something at somebody. Like, whoa.
Yeah. For sure. Especially well, even like, bunny. Yeah, at the beginning when they're asking for more coal and he bangs his hand on his desk about who wants to spend their time on the unemployment line. And like, there's so much force behind that. Basically yelling at, you know, Kermit and the mice.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, you're scary. You know, especially like if you're a kid, or like imagine if that's what it is.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
To the Muppets from like a childlike mindset. Like, I'm just like, I want Michael Caine to be Scrooge in like an adult production where there's no Muppets, because he'd probably go to like another level. That would scare me. Just saying.
I mean, that's what happens when you have like a world class actor in this film, because he has no business being in this movie. But he chose to be here. He was like,
but he chose,
I'm going to be Scrooge. I'm going to be the best Scrooge ever. I just love that juxtaposition, that contrast between like
it's
the super serious Oscar performance.
Yeah. Yep.
And then silly puppets all around him.
It doesn't, it shouldn't work.
It shouldn't work, but it does work.
But it does. Because if you then, like, let's go to Muppet Treasure Island for a second, right? Where you've got Tim Curry in with all of these Muppets as well.
And he's wacky.
And he's wacky, and you're like, oh, well, that makes sense.
He's matching.
That totally works. Yeah. Yes.
That's it. It's tone. Because Treasure Island, it's an adventure story. It's about, like, pirates, yep. And they're going to this island to find treasure, you know, all this stuff. So it's funny. It's yep. silly. And yep. with... The Christmas Carol, it is a serious story.
Uh-huh.
It's a reminder to open up your heart and to be warm in the holidays and not be cold like the harsh yep. winter.
Yes.
So Michael Caine's yes. like, he has to embody that spirit there. He can't be too mm-hmm. too silly, because then the
right.
the redemption arc for Scrooge won't be impactful if he's like
yeah.
Tim Curry dancing around.
Yeah, for sure. Huh.
So that makes, yeah, see, it yeah. makes sense, huh?
There we go. Solving all the world's problems one podcast at a time.
Exactly.
That's great.
So let's talk about the Cratchit family a little bit. Because I want to highlight Kermit the Frog, because in my opinion, I think Kermit embodies it, like if it's anybody, Kermit embodies the soul of A Christmas Story, because uh-huh. A Christmas Carol, excuse me. No one's shooting their eye out, kid.
Yep.
So I think he embodies it because he is that. I mean, I guess it's Tiny Tim, but like his family is like the reason, the catalyst for Scrooge to warm up and to not be an asshole anymore. Because, like, it's because of his inequality. His son, his family, they don't have food. They buy the biggest goose for the family and all this stuff. So, like, I think Kermit embodies the Christmas Carol, if one Muppet does embody it. What do you think of that?
That's a really interesting point. Yeah, I think, it as you were talking, it made me think of the one scene in the beginning of the film where... as they're negotiating for more coal at the store or the shop or the business, you know, he's using logic with Scrooge, like, you know, or being closed on Christmas. Maybe that's what it is. Like, you know, it would burn a lot of expensive coal if we were open tomorrow and no other businesses were open. And, right. and I feel like this mindset that they gave Kermit to be Bob Cratchit really was, I am here for all mankind. I am here to take care of my family and support, you know, all different avenues of people. And we see that with wishing Scrooge's nephew a Merry Christmas. You see it when he's playing with the penguins on his walk home, and, you know, the song and dance with his son as they're coming home from church. And so he loves people, which we know Kermit does as well, which is fun. But then there's like a humility with him, you know, once he is home, and he loves his family. So I can jive with what you're saying. I think there's something very true about that heart of what the story is about. And
right.
Oh, that just drew a parallel in my head, Armand.
Do it. What is it?
Okay. So it makes me wonder, because there's that moment with the Ghost of Christmas Present with Scrooge where he's like starting to get it a little bit. And I'm wondering if it's because Bob Cratchit, as with Kermit, is a very similar mindset as the Ghost of Christmas Present. And there's a familiarity there that Scrooge picks up on with the Ghost of Christmas Present that he might not get from anybody else, because there's already some rooted things in there. Interesting.
I think you're onto something, because I do have a theory with this film.
Oh.
Just the way that it is filmed, because, like, before Scrooge encounters any of the ghosts, he goes to bed. He goes to sleep. So yes. This could be, quote, all a dream. This is where that trope comes from.
Yep.
So, like, I think the ghosts represent people in his life, like three ghosts.
Yeah.
And I think Ghost of Christmas Presents is representative by Bob Cratchit, Kermit the Frog's character, because Kermit does embody the spirit of Christmas.
Yes.
He embodies it. His character embodies it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're tracking with that theory, then when Scrooge encounters the Ghost of Christmas Presents, he's thinking of Bob Cratchit, and then it's manifesting as this spirit of, like, you know, like, whoa, holly jolly, excess and joy, Christmas. Yeah. Makes sense, because, like, they're two, like, thematically, they're kind of the same person.
For sure,
like,
for sure.
Deep down, they represent the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know who the other two ghosts are. Maybe we can figure that out. But Ghost of Christmas Past was represented by, like, a little girl, which was super creepy. Nightmare fuel, in my opinion.
For
I was
sure.
Like, it's creepy. I don't know. I don't know who that would be. Maybe the ghost of Marley. But then we saw Marley earlier, or Marley's.
I mean, could it be the girl he left behind
from his childhood? His love?
His love? I don't know. A sister? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just making up stuff. I don't know. But I do need to put a pin in this conversation for like 30 seconds, because we just have to take a brief moment to recognize Sam the Eagle being an English professor.
I love his character.
It's too good. Okay. Unpin. We're good.
Yeah. Because he's like super, he's a bald eagle. So he's like super America.
Kidding.
American. It's the American,
American
way. It's the British way.
And there's that brief moment, then he looks back to be like, was that right? Like, it's just so good. Anyway, yes. So, very interesting.
Yeah. So, I think, yeah, I mean, good parallel with, like, the Ghost of Christmas Present and then Bob Cratchit.
Yeah.
Deep down, they represent the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know who the Ghost of Christmas... Oh! Duh.
There it is.
Okay.
Duh.
The Ghost of Christmas Future, represented by like the Grim Reaper looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how Scrooge sees himself, because ultimately that's his.
Ooh, that's
because
deep.
Like he sees himself and he like looks at the gravestone and it's his name. He's like, no. And then he sees like no one cares about him.
Yeah.
Like everyone's talking bad about him. Like, oh, he was like a curmudgeon. He's mean. Who cares about this guy? And they're selling all his crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that ghost, that's how he views himself. And he's like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like him. Please tell me, who is this man that everyone forgets? It's me? Oh, my God. I think that tracks.
That's deep, man. I buy that.
Okay. Ghost of Christmas Past, I don't know. I need to dwell on that for a few more minutes. I don't know who represents that. It's probably his long-lost love. It is his long-lost love from his childhood.
The girl that he fell in love with. Yeah.
Has to
so,
be. Or the innocence of childhood.
Or the innocence of childhood,
because
yeah.
the ghost is represented by a little girl, so it makes sense. Yeah. Like, oh, remember when things were great? It's kind of like Citizen Kane, if you saw that movie.
I have, long time ago, but yeah.
Because, like, that whole thesis was like the innocence of childhood.
Yeah.
Remember how I had everything when I was a kid? And then when I had, well, I had nothing when I was a kid, but it seemed like everything. That's when life was good and simple. And when I have literally
everything.
I'm super rich, just empty on the inside.
Yeah.
I want to go back to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I think that's Scrooge too. It's the businessman archetype where it's like,
for sure.
Because Scrooge is like successful businessman. Boss, he has his company, and he literally has everything. He's super rich, but he is broken on the inside because he knows the things that truly matter, he has none of it.
Right. Yes.
Okay, I think we deciphered it.
Okay. Whew.
Would you like to talk about the humor of this movie? Because I do have a question for you.
Oh, okay. I could talk about some humor in it. Okay, yeah.
We were highlighting some of the humorous moments, like when Rizzo was trying to go over the fence and he like falls down mm-hmm. and then like he goes through it in that yes. same scene. And then Gonzo's like, wait, you could fit through the bars? You are an idiot. Okay. And then like the thing with the Sam the Eagle, how mm-hmm. he's like trying to be American. And it's like, oh, I mean British.
British.
So
yes.
Do you think the humor in this movie, I mean, this came out in 92,
mm-hmm.
like over 30 years ago. Do you think the humor holds up? Do you think the humor is timeless or do you think it's dated?
Ooh.
Heather, super fan, Muppet super fan. What do you think? What do you think?
I'm feeling like it holds up.
Okay.
I feel like it's simple humor. I feel like it's classic Muppet humor. I don't currently have anything in my brain that tells me there's anything that would be like, ooh, that didn't hold up well kind of humor, right?
Yeah, Clinton coming out with a saxophone. Yeah. I thought that was a weird scene with Fozzie Winks. Fozzie Bear.
Well, yeah, I mean.
That didn't happen, guys. That didn't happen.
If
that did happen, it would be dated. It would be like, well.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, it starts off strong where they're welcoming, you know, the viewers to the movie. And it's like, I know the story like the back of my hand. And Rizzo's like, prove it. And so then like Gonzo starts explaining the back of his hand. Yeah. And it's like, oh, so this is what we're in for. So like it kind of sets up this like mm-hmm. childlike humor.
Right.
And I would be curious to know if someone coming in who doesn't know the Muppets, if the humor would be lost on them, right?
You. I do think the humor is timeless because it's not making any pop culture references.
Nope.
If anything, it's satire of the story, A Christmas Carol. So
yes.
It's in a way a wink and a nod at Christmas. It's a little bit of a parody, mm-hmm. but it still maintains the message
yes.
of A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is, the humor isn't lowbrow. That's the thing.
Yeah, like, there we go.
I don't think it would be, I don't think we would be talking about it today if it was like fart jokes left
for
and
sure.
right. Or like, there's a little bit of a slapstick, but that's kind of timeless if it's done right, which they do. It's not
yes.
like, it's kind of like Three Stooges. You know, mm-hmm. you can watch Three mm-hmm. Stooges now and be like, oh, this is funny.
Right.
But it's not like Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Humor where, I mean, it's funny, but it's like, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch that. Or
right.
it just doesn't, it's not yeah. as funny as it was 20 years ago type of thing.
For sure. For sure. Well, I think it's interesting because, okay, ready for another hot take?
What's the hot take?
So I don't like the movie Elf. I enjoyed it the first time.
I don't know if I can invite you back.
That's fine. I mean, I'll watch it if that's what the movie selection is for like a group of people, but I'm not going to choose to watch it on my own. And so there's something about it that I'm like, yeah, this is not holding up for me.
You don't like pouring syrup on your spaghetti?
No, it's so gross.
Is it because of the Peter Dinklage scene?
No.
Are you from the North Pole? Very funny guy. Oh, he's an angry elf. Does Santa know you're here?
Yeah. I don't know if it's just, I don't know. There's just something about it. It's not my favorite. And it feels a little bit too childlike humor for me.
Elf?
Yeah. So what am I missing that makes... Is it Will Ferrell? Is it just Will Ferrell that I'm having a hard time with?
Here's the thing with...
Because it doesn't equate to Muppet Christmas Carol for me.
because it's almost the thing with Elf is that Will Ferrell both embodies the Muppets and a little bit of Scrooge because he's a human character. Because Will Ferrell, there's an arc with his character because he's from the North Pole and he grew up with, with elves.
Okay.
And he thinks he's an elf. He's just a big elf, even though he's human. Right. And he's, it's kind of like a fish out of water situation where he goes to New York and he's like operating with his North Pole brain in the real world. And he's trying to like win over his dad, who is literally Scrooge.
Right.
So I think the disconnect is Will Ferrell might be embodying too many things for you.
Interesting.
Instead of like having, because in the beginning of the film, he's like in like a, I forget the name of those cartoons, like the Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer or Frosty, where they're little claymation characters. Uh-huh. If those were throughout the entire film, like he goes to New York with Frosty the Snowman or with Rudolph, and you got the claymation Frank and Bash, I think that's what they're called. characters, would that help?
I don't know. I might have to watch it again.
Will Ferrell.
That's an interesting point. Okay. So now that we've like completely deviated for like 30 seconds, it's an interesting conversation because I feel like the humor, it's everything you said. It's making fun of itself. It's not just humor for humor's sake.
Right. It's situational humor because Elf is, there's some situational humor, but a lot of it's just jokes.
Right. And that's, so they don't feel as bad, like it's not as balanced for me. So maybe that's what I'm feeling. Interesting. Who knew this podcast would also be therapy for Heather?
And why you don't like Will Ferrell?
No, he's great.
Why you don't like Elf? I love Elf, for the record.
Okay. It's been lovely being here. I'll never be invited back. It's fine.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
So with Gonzo and Rizzo.
Yeah.
Because like every adaptation of this story is like, it's through the eyes of Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like third person Scrooge. It's not first person. But there's no narrators. There's no omnipresent narrators.
Mm-hmm.
With this one, there is.
Yes.
Gonzo is Charles Dickens. Rizzo is Rizzo. And they're narrating, they're guiding the viewer throughout this story.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that adds or distracts from the overall narrative?
I feel like it adds to it.
It adds.
And maybe I'm just partial to loving this movie and loving the Muppets. But, you know, when Charles Dickens, a.k.a. Gonzo, is like, the Marleys were dead to begin with, you know, to have then Rizzo basically be like, wait, what? It, you know, there's something that it's like, oh, that's how I would feel if I was reading that, you know?
Right.
So I feel like it allows you to sort of live through some of their thoughts and feelings about the story, you know?
Yeah.
Like when they get, they go inside, you know, Scrooge's business, and Rizzo's like, wow, it's colder in here than it is outside, you know, for winter. And he's basically like providing commentary along the way of like how they feel about the story. And I'm like, that's clever. And I feel like it adds something to the overall storytelling.
It does, because like, I think it might be for the kids. If you think about it, because like the adults are watching it and they get the visual storytelling and they're going to explain also in words what's happening. It's like me watching, I'm like, oh, Scrooge is like this cold man. He's shutting out everybody. He's a literal Scrooge.
Yeah.
And then Gonzo and Rizzo are like, oh, it's so cold in here. It's colder in here than it is outside. Poetic way of saying this guy is a jerk.
Jerk. Yep.
But like, you know, we have the visual storytelling, then we have the literal.
Right. Yep.
So it's like, if you didn't get it, now you do.
Now you do.
So I think for the context of the Muppets, it makes sense.
Right. I think if they were to try to do this non-Muppet kind of way, like all humans with a narrator, I don't think it would work.
No. Unless it's like a kid's movie.
Yeah, okay,
like,
sure.
Like aimed to kids.
Yeah.
Because like, if you look at like a lot of the Christmas stuff that's aimed towards children, like for example, Frosty the Snowman, the cartoon,
mm-hmm.
there's a narrator. There's also a narrator in the song. They're talking about Frosty. Frosty's not singing. Yep.
Yeah.
So it makes sense where it's like they're kind of guiding the audience along.
Mm-hmm.
And an adult doesn't need guidance. They're going to get what they're being shown. Hopefully.
Yep.
But like for kids, they're not going to get it. They're going to be focusing on the wrong things. Maybe like the visuals or maybe Gonzo looks funny.
Yeah.
But they need to be told like, hey, Scrooge is mean. He is mean.
He is.
Yeah.
Mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be like him. Sure. I won't be like him.
Ooh.
That's just my opinion. But like,
yeah.
If it was for, like, imagine you're watching a movie and, like, the narrator walks into frame, like, now everybody, see this guy? You'd be like, what am I watching right now? Is this a parody?
Exactly.
Is this supposed to be funny right now? Because that's, like, a comedic moment. But if they're playing it straight, it's like, who's this movie for? It's not for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it does add.
I agree. I think it's fun. Because even like when you watch it, there's that you can kind of see Gonzo switching in between Charles Dickens and Gonzo. Like when he's talking to the audience, it's Charles Dickens. But then he kind of, quote unquote, breaks character when he talks to Rizzo and then kind of comes back. And
imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Maybe he is in character all the time. We don't know what Charles Dickens was.
That's true. Valid point.
Aren't you a fan of Doctor Who?
I mean, I've seen some episodes. I can't say that I'm, you know, a like big Doctor Who fan, but like I don't stop and watch it, but my former roommate and my best friend, huge Who fan, so I would watch them with her.
There's an episode where the Doctor meets Charles Dickens.
Okay.
As he's reciting the Christmas Carol, and the Doctor calls him Charlie. He's like, what?
Oh.
He's like, well, I know. I'm sorry. I know the ladies call you Charlie. And he's like, what? How do you know that?
That's great.
So we don't know what he was like personally.
Very true. My apologies.
But a lot of the Muppet characters do that. Like, they're like, for example, Kermit, like, he's representing Bob Cratchit, but at the end of the day, he's also Kermit the Frog.
Right.
So, and like you said with Miss Piggy, too. Like, even though she is Emily Cratchit, she's also Miss Piggy.
She's also Miss Piggy. Yes. Yes.
So, there's that duality going on. It's almost like, it's almost like this movie is like, I'm watching a play, and these, quote, actors, the Muppets, are performing these characters. They're not actually the characters.
The characters, yeah. Because
they do break character. They do break the fourth wall, look at the audience. Every time that happens with Gonzo, I'm like, who are you talking to? Wow, guys. I'm like, whoa, who are you talking to?
Yeah, for sure. So, well, and even to have, you know, like Electric Mayhem, to have the band at Fozziwig's party, you're like, you know, an animal yelling to quiet everybody down. Like, it doesn't make sense. But then it does make sense.
Yeah, with the drum kit. Boom, boom.
With the drum kit.
He's going. I was like, oh, my animal's here.
Like, he doesn't lose his animalness.
Right.
Because he's in this Victorian classic literature story.
Right.
And so maybe that's it. Maybe when you start watching it, you just instantly have like a Muppet filter that's applied where you're like, eh, that's fine. It's the Muppets.
Right. Because like, if I'm going into a Muppet anything, I'm going to expect to see the Muppets acting like the Muppets.
Yeah.
Then what's the point? It's like, it's the equivalent of like, there's certain expectations. And it's kind of like if like they made a Muppet movie now and it was all CGI, like no physical puppets, you'd be like, what the hell is this?
Right. Yep.
Like there's certain expectations. Like if I'm going to see Kermit the Frog, I want him to act like Kermit the Frog.
Exactly.
If I'm going to see Miss Piggy, I want her to act like Miss Piggy. If I see Sam the Eagle, I want him to be patriotic. And him to be reminded, hey, we're not in America right now. We're in Britain. So, I do enjoy that they break character frequently in this movie. It adds to the charm.
It does, yes. Which then ultimately makes Michael Caine that much more brilliant.
Yes. Because it's almost like they plucked him out of the real Victorian era. Like he's literally Scrooge and just plopped him into the set of the Muppet movie.
Yep.
And then see what happens.
For sure.
I'm sure that's how it was pitched at the Henson studio. Like, what if we just took Scrooge and put him in here? What would happen?
Yeah.
And then we saw what would happen.
Yeah, for sure.
I absolutely love it. So we're nearing the end of the show, Heather. But I do have some off-the-fence questions for you.
Bring it on.
And I kind of mentioned this early on. I wanted to put like a pin in it. Now I'm going to take the pin out.
All right, I'm ready.
My first question for you. If you were to remake a movie, any movie.
Yes.
Keep one actor and replace the rest with Muppets.
Yes.
What movie would you do?
Okay, so this is probably the question I was like, please ask this question.
It's the question.
Because I've seen a lot like on the internet of people doing this exact question. And I've seen like Les Mis being offered out, which would be phenomenal.
That would actually be really good.
I'm just saying, Les Mis, right? Muppets. Yeah. I've seen Pride and Prejudice thrown out there. Although with that one, I'm not sure who would remain the human. Probably Darcy. And then everybody else would be Muppets. So those are the two that like I've seen already like put out into the universe. And I have to say, I kind of feel like Les Mis is a good one.
It's a solid choice.
I think that would be really funny to see how the Henson Studios would do that. Have Jean Valjean be a human.
Okay.
And have everybody else be Muppets.
Who would play Jean Valjean?
That's a good question. I didn't hate Hugh Jackman. I don't love Hugh Jackman.
He was all right.
He was okay. I think that, I mean, the issue was of everyone else in the movie, he was better than Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I also think it'd be interesting to get someone who's done it on Broadway to do it.
Well, not Russell Crowe. Hugh Jackman just did The Music Man. I think that was last year or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
that could work. I mean, like Phantom of the Opera could be kind of comical as well. Oh, my
God. Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, can you imagine like Kermit with like a little half mask kind of thing?
So you want Kermit to be the Phantom.
I mean, I just think that would be funny.
Angel of Music.
I mean, come on. It's so good.
Sing for me.
You know, I think that would be funny. Because then would you put Christine as a human?
She would have to be human.
To do all of the musical components of it, I think would be. But can you see Miss Piggy being, oh crap, what's her name? The other singing person who kind of gets replaced by Christine. I can't remember her name.
I could see that happening.
You know, so I mean, like, I think that would be really fun.
I think Kermit would be the love interest for Christine. The good guy.
Oh, yeah. Who would that be?
It's not Kermit. You don't think it would be Kermit? You think Kermit has to be the Phantom?
Well,
who would the Phantom be? Fozzie Bear? Yeah. Gonzo?
Gonzo would be funny, though, because then the mask would have to include his long nose.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Check. So, like, Phantom would be really funny. I also feel like I could see maybe, like, an Alfred Hitchcock movie being done with the Muppets. I don't know if it would be, like, Rear Window.
Psycho. The Birds.
The problem with, like, Psycho is, like, there's just not enough characters to fill in Muppets. But can you imagine, like, Rear Window where he's looking out at all the different windows of the other apartment? It's all the different Muppets.
That'd be insane. It's
funny. So probably Les Mis.
Les Mis is solid. Miss Piggy would be the prostitute character.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually makes sense.
Fantine.
Putting makeup on a pig analogy. I'm just saying.
Oh, because then could Sam the Eagle be the cop? Like Law and Justice? Or would that be too big of a role for Sam?
That'll be too big. Sam works as like a side character.
Yeah.
I don't know who the inspector would be.
Fozzie?
No, he's
too lovable.
Oh, I don't know. It'll have to be like, I wish we could have like a crossover. It could be like, what the hell's his name? The guy that lives in a trash can? Oscar the Grouch?
Oscar the Grouch? Ooh, good. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so that would probably be my vote.
Have you heard of Hereditary? It's a horror film?
I don't think I have.
Do you like horror movies? I don't think you do.
I love a good psychological thriller, scary movie.
Okay.
Sometimes horror, depending on the gore level, doesn't necessarily be my cup of tea, but
this movie's gory at times. It's more of a slow burn type thing.
Okay.
You would like The Babadook.
Okay.
Because like the first section of it's very psychological, but like for those listening, I would do a horror movie.
Interesting.
Where I would keep one actor.
Okay.
And replace the rest with Muppets and then infuse comedy in there.
Okay.
Maybe like Scream.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Where you would have Neve Campbell's character as the person, the actor.
Okay.
And then the rest are Muppets. That's what I would do that. Oh, my God. I would do that.
That would be funny. And just have stuffing come out of them when they stab. Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah, or actually, well, what I would actually do is Beetlejuice.
Oh.
I would keep Lydia as Winona Ryder's character as the human.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the rest are Muppets.
They're all Muppets.
Can you imagine Beetlejuice, Muppets? And they also don't have to be like the Muppet Muppets. It could be like,
yeah,
you know, original Muppets. Like, to
Muppets,
fit.
Yeah.
Who would be Beetlejuice? We always go to Gonzo.
I know. Well, because he's the weird one.
But can you imagine like a puppet version of like Beetlejuice?
A puppet with version like of Beetlejuice would be stellar. Yes.
It'd be sick.
I would support that.
That's the one thing I would promote. Be like,
okay.
Because they're doing Beetlejuice 2 right now with Jenna Ortega. Yeah. Who's, I believe, the daughter of Lydia.
Okay, that would make sense.
And it's like, yeah. Do we need a part two? It'll be awesome if they put Muppets in there. If you're going to do something...
throw a Muppet in there.
If you're going to do a cash grab like that, might as well do something unique and different.
Yeah,
and have it
for
be,
sure.
Just do something off the wall. Like, you know what? Everyone's expecting Beetlejuice 2. It's going to be Beetlejuice... The Muppets Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Oh, my
interesting.
God. I'm going to put that out in the universe. Muppets
the
Beetlejuice.
Universe.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's funny.
But, like, Les Mis Muppets would actually be really good. Did you watch the dramatization of Les Mis on Amazon, the 10-part miniseries?
I didn't because I didn't have Amazon Prime.
If you're a fan of Les Mis, there's no singing, there's no dancing. Sure. It is a drama retelling of Les Mis, and it's so good.
All right.
Jean Valjean in that, stellar. I'm sure you've seen The Crown, right?
I started watching The Crown. I haven't gotten terribly far in it.
I was going to say the actor that plays Prince Charles in the latest season
plays
Jean Valjean.
Okay.
And when I saw him in The Crown, I was like, Jean Valjean.
Jean.
What? That's him.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So.
That's a recommendation for me. But back to the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yes. I'm focused.
Second to last question. Do you think. So, like, we talked about, like, the overall themes of this, like, you know, redemption for Scrooge and, like, you know, the spirit of Christmas. Do you think this movie, definitive answer, do you think this movie is the best representation of the Christmas Carol when it comes to that type of stuff?
Yes.
Oh! Why?
Oh, wait. Maybe I misunderstood your question. Is it the best interpretation of the Christmas Carol? Yes. Is it the best story about the Christmas spirit and redemption?
I didn't ask that, but sure.
Oh, okay. Which question did you ask me? The first one?
When it comes to a Christmas Carol.
Carol.
And like
yes.
The story.
The answer
know.
Is yes.
Okay.
It's the best. It's the best one out there.
More than Jim Carrey's?
Yes.
Christmas Carol animation movie. That was a solid movie because it's animated. You can do whatever you want.
It's very true. It's my opinion. We can
more than Doctor Who's A Christmas Carol where they go in space.
I've not seen that one, so maybe I need to see it.
It's all right.
But any other film adaptation, to me, this is the best one.
Yeah, this one's hard. I do like the Jim Carrey one because they could just do whatever because it's animated.
Right.
Which I do appreciate.
Yeah.
But yeah, the traditional ones fall flat in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I love seeing it live. Performed on stage because it's elevated that way. I'm seeing people emote in front of me, the story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like the movies, just, I don't know. Maybe we're due for like a new one.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, live theater is live theater. You just can't. That's a different conversation. But I feel like, yeah, probably the Jim Carrey one with being animated, because it lends itself to some freedoms that you can't do otherwise. When it's just a dark set with the houses and humans trying to emote these things, I feel like you lose some of the warmth of what the story actually is. They're dark themes and they're very hard, but even the Ghost of Christmas Present that's supposed to be very jovial and fun and really get you in the spirit, I don't think is represented well in the other films.
It's hard to do. I think with today's
7-foot guy in a, you know,
I think with today's technology, with like special effects and cinematography, I think we can have like a film that gets both, like, you know, like the slow, cold dread of like Scrooge's psyche, and then actually have, you know, the joy be represented through, you know, actors and special effects and lighting and all that stuff. I think we're due for something really good if done right, right with like a good director. But we just haven't seen it so far, in my opinion.
No, I would agree.
And the Muppets Christmas Carol, even though it is silly, the emotional depth is still there of the story. And it's a good vehicle to tell the story. So, hot take, but I agree with it. Because I do try. I'm like, let me watch A Christmas Carol. This is boring. Yeah. And I watch boring movies. I love boring movies. There's no substance here. There's something lost in translation.
Yeah.
Now, my final question for you, Heather. Would you recommend A Muppet's Christmas Carol to a friend?
Absolutely.
No hesitation.
Absolutely. I watch it every year.
Wow.
At Christmas. There are two movies at the holiday season that get me ready to go for the season. One is White Christmas and one is The Muppet Christmas Carol. They're the two movies that sort of kickstart my holiday season. And I just, if I haven't said it enough, the humor and the seriousness of The Muppet Christmas Carol that provides you this, okay, this is what the meaning of Christmas, of just seeing someone go have a true redemption in the goofiest way possible. It's heartwarming.
Truly is. Because like we have that core story being told in this comedic way. But it doesn't lose the depth of his redemption. Because like Michael Caine is playing it straight.
Yes.
It's the background. It's the backdrop of like, it's a little bit silly. Just a little bit silly. They don't go like full like slapstick humor, fart jokes. Like everything is like nuanced.
Right.
It's done well. Which you would expect from Jim Henson Studio.
Correct.
R.I.P. Jim Henson. The film was dedicated to him. So they're like, we need to go fully into this. We need to make sure this is up to his standard. And it was.
And it was, for sure.
I totally recommend this to a friend.
Yeah.
This isn't my go-to every year.
Okay.
God, White Christmas, I'm sorry. It's so boring.
Oh.
I don't like that movie. Because the Music Box here in Chicago, they do a double feature every year.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas.
Yeah.
And one year I was like, I'm going to do both. It's a Wonderful Life was first. I love that movie.
Sure.
So good. It's like a Christmas Carol in a way. A little bit. And like after that, they do White Christmas. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm falling asleep. Bing Crosby singing, Danny Kaye dancing. That's it. I'm sorry, Heather. All right.
Well, I'll give you Elf if you give me White Christmas, and we'll just call it even.
I'll give you White Christmas.
Okay.
I can have Elf. Wait, yeah, and you can have White Christmas.
Yes.
It's fine.
Okay.
Heather, thank you so much for coming on. This
Thanks
was a blast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very surprised you chose Muppets Christmas Carol. You're like, I said Muppets Christmas Carol. And I was like, I didn't expect that, but okay. But here we're talking about how great it is, how it stood the test of time. Michael Caine being Michael Caine, just retired from acting. Wish he didn't. Solid.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a great time.
Okay.
We have to do all WSTR crew in person. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. One of these days, it's going to happen.
Perfect.
But have a great holiday.
Hey, you too.
This was a great way to kick off the holiday season. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Heather,
Absolutely.
Where can people hear more of you?
Well, yeah, I am part of the WSTR podcast. So you can find us at WSTR Media on all the socials. Personally, I am at Hawk Awesome on Instagram. I am no longer on Twitter or X or whatever these new kids are calling it. It's just too toxic for Heather, so she's not there no more.
Amen.
Just note, I am set to private on Instagram, so if I don't accept your request right away, just bear with me. There's some creepy people out there in the universe. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Well, I love WSTR. I'm on there sometimes trying to sound cool. But yeah, I mean, you always tease that news. You always talk about the latest Star Wars stuff. It's a good time. Everyone, go listen to WSTR. Until next time, stop the scroll. Spend more time watching. Goodbye, everybody.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd at Syndicate. Or join the Discord server, where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at syndicate.com/discord. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.